Glory to God. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I welcome you to another episode of Every Day with Jesus broadcast, where lives are being deeply transformed and enriched by the preaching of the word of God. I put it to you that the word of God is the only thing that can keep you sane in this world. God's word is the only thing that can preserve and maintain your sanity. The world is becoming more scary by the day. The world is getting more scary. It's getting crazier by the day. The world is drifting towards self-destruction. The only thing that will keep you sane today as a believer in the world today is the word of God. I welcome you to another encounter with the word this morning. Let's say a word of prayer quickly. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the wisdom of your word. Thank you for your word that is light unto our feet, that is light for us and a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you, Father, because we find clarity, we find answers, we find directions, we find instructions for godly living, even as we look through the pages of your word. Thank you, Father. We receive with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Hallelujah. So we've been studying spiritual growth and what it looks like. Hallelujah. Spiritual growth and what it looks like. And then yesterday, I emphasized and dwelt on the fact that knowledge is the most essential thing needed in the Christian faith. Hallelujah. Knowledge is the most essential thing needed in the Christian faith. I'll start again from Matthew 28, from verse 18. Bible says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Go and make disciples. Hallelujah. Go and make disciples. Now the word disciples there is the word that means students, scholars, pupils, men who are given to learning, men who are given to receiving learning, instruction, men who are being taught. Go and make disciples of all nations. There's a problem in the body of Christ today. It seems as though some pastors, or let me say preachers, are more interested in attracting fans. Hallelujah. Getting well-wishers and fans, people who are lovers of their church, lovers of your style of ministry, people who love the way you do ministry, people who love your church venue and love the way you post your adverts on Facebook and love your posters and your banners and love many things, but they are not willing to become disciples. So you find more programs targeted at thrilling the saints, thrilling the church, thrilling the world also, thrilling people, more programs that are, you know, at the center of those programs, you find the idea of gratifying self, funfair, amusement. Glory to God. Less emphasis on making disciples. Less emphasis on teaching men and growing men and nurturing men and bringing men to maturity in the knowledge of God. Less emphasis on the making of disciples. But Jesus says, go into the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Jesus says to teach them the same way I have taught you. The question is, how did Jesus teach? Hallelujah. Teaching them all I have commanded you. Teaching them the same things I commanded you. So you discover that the apostles entered the world with that mindset. It wasn't child's play. Hallelujah. So, because they understood that the most important thing they've been sent to do is to teach men. To teach actually means to impart knowledge. So, knowledge is the most essential thing in the Christian faith. This is the instruction Jesus gives to the church. Go into the world and impact men with knowledge. Go into the world and impart men with the knowledge of the Son of God. Go into the world and commit to them and entrust to them the things that I've said to you, the things I've taught you, the things that I've shown you. Hallelujah. The passing, the transmission of knowledge from one generation to one, from one generation to another is an essential aspect of the Christian faith. Glory to God. An essential aspect of the Christian faith. So he says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And you discover that it doesn't say just teach them things that excite them. It doesn't say teach them and then, you know, once they hear it once, move on. Teaching them to observe. That is, in the teaching, in the nurture, in the admonishing, in the discipline, we are raising men who are doers of the word. I'm not through with you until you become a doer of the word. Hallelujah. Even when you become a doer of the word, I'm still not through with you, because both of us are still on the face of the earth, and we must press on. We must make progress in the faith. We must forget the things that are past. We must not start telling tales and stories of how much we used to do in the past when our lives in the present is nothing to write home about. Hallelujah. Teaching them to observe. Because it is by teaching we raise men who are doers of the word. So spiritual growth comes by teaching. Comes by teaching, admonition, instruction. The imparting of knowledge. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That's why Peter, look at the instruction. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. Knowledge is the most essential part of the Christian faith. And I'll stand by this anywhere. It is so taught in the Bible, in the scriptures. And we cannot shy away from it. 1 Peter, chapter 2, from verse 1 to 2. The Bible says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Desire the pure or the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So you see that the word of God is what brings growth and maturity. There will be no growth outside the knowledge of the word of God. There will be no growth outside the knowledge of the scriptures. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Growth happens by knowledge. Let no man deceive you. Let no man discourage you from a passionate pursuit of the scriptures, a passionate pursuit of an understanding of the mind of God via the scriptures. There is no growth outside knowledge. Those who don't know cannot grow. Those who are growing are people that have given themselves over to the pursuit of the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 2. Chapter 3, verse 18. Look at this now. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It says, but grow in grace and knowledge. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is no growth outside knowledge. Hallelujah. There is no growth outside knowledge. There must be the knowledge of the word enriching your heart. Hallelujah. This is what bets spiritual maturity. Glory be to God. So let nobody discourage you from a pursuit of the word of God. A pursuit, a vigorous, passionate pursuit of the knowledge of the scriptures. Look at this other place, Acts of Apostles chapter 20. Acts of Apostles chapter 20. So you see, like I, you know, from where I started from, that the apostles entered the world because they knew that it was no child's play. They knew that the responsibility they've been given was to go and dispense knowledge in the world, was to go into the world and impart men with knowledge. So they were busy with that mandate. They kept teaching. They were bringing men to maturity via teaching. And I'm going to show you some places in the book of Acts. Look at this carefully. Acts 20, 32. Popular scripture, I suppose. Praise God. Popular scripture. I mean, from where I come from. Acts of Apostles, chapter 20, verse 32. It says, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith, who are among all those who are sanctified. He says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. There is no growth outside knowledge. The more you know, the more you grow. The more you know, the more you have the opportunity, the more you have the ability or the capacity or the privilege to grow. Those who do not know cannot grow. Praise God. And I'll repeat this. Many of the people in the church who are struggling with spiritual maturity or the idea of spiritual maturity, many people cannot understand how they ought to grow. They don't know what they are doing wrong. They just know they are struggling. They've remained, you know, babes in the faith for many years. The problem is with what they know and what they don't know. It's a knowledge problem fundamentally. Hallelujah. Fundamentally, it's a knowledge problem. That's why if God wants to change the life of a man today, he sends him somebody to teach him the word. Hallelujah. If God wants to change the life of anybody today, he sends him a man that will teach him and instruct him in scriptures. A man that would impart knowledge into his heart. A man that will show him the reality of God's word, the integrity of the word of God. A man that will walk him through scriptures and you know, demystify the old thing and let him see Christ so clearly from the scriptures. And I'll say it again, if God wants to change the life of any man today, he sends him a teacher of the word, somebody who can teach him and walk him through scriptures and show him the mind of God and show him Christ clearly from the scriptures. This is how God changes the lives of men today. Hallelujah. That is how God will change the lives of anyone today, the lives of people today, by the preaching and the teaching of the word of God. Someone says, God wants to change people's lives. It's not stereotype now. God can change people's life anyhow. What about promoting the person at his workplace? What about getting the person a car? What about, you know, providing miraculously for the person? Well, that's not a change of your life. You got a job. That's you getting a new job. That's you getting a promotion at work. You got a change of car, a change of economic status, not a change of life. Praise God. because your life is not defined by the things you own. Jesus speaking, he says, the life of a man does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. So there's a way God sees things. There's a way you see things. For you, life is all about everything you own and everything you have. You say your life is improving because you got a new car or you got a new job. Your life is not improving because you got a new job. Praise God. Your life is separate from the job. Your life is separate from the business. Your life is separate from everything. The idea of the world is to attach their lives to the things they own. So they define their worth and their lives by the things they own. But your life is separate from your possessions. That's why Jesus said what he said. The life of a man does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Hallelujah. So the only way God changes the life of a man is by the word. Praise God. It is by the word. It is by the word. Glory to God. The knowledge of the word of God. So Acts 20, 32. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified in him. Hallelujah. So it is by the preaching of the word of God. Hallelujah. By the preaching of the word of God. So the apostles understood this. And they got into the world with that mindset. That this is the only way we're going to change people's lives. This is the only way we are going to bring men to the knowledge of Christ. This is the only way we are going to get men saved. And this is the only way we are going to make them grow in the faith. It is by knowledge. A dutiful approach towards teaching. Hallelujah. Look at Acts chapter 2. Acts of Apostles chapter 2. Acts 2 verse 42. Praise God. Look at this. Acts chapter 2 verse 42. Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. Hallelujah. So the apostles got busy indoctrinating men, because it is by indoctrination, by the teaching of the word of God, we're going to transform the lives of men. Praise God. Knowledge is so essential. Knowledge is so important. I want to plead with you by the message of God to not give up on your quest, on your quest to pursue the right knowledge, to pursue the knowledge of the word of God. It is so essential and vital for your spiritual growth. So essential and vital for your spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Acts 2:42, they continued in the apostles' doctrine. In fact, something they said at Acts 6, look at this carefully. Acts chapter 6, something they said at Acts 6, look at this now. From verse 1, there was a problem in the early church. Some folks were being neglected in the daily distribution. Some widows in the church were being neglected. So they called the apostles. This complaint went to the apostles, and then they wanted a solution. Now look at what they said from verse 2. Bible says, then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among yourselves seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Hallelujah. We'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Praise God. Because they understood that it is by the ministry of the word we are going to raise men up in the faith. If they had left the ministry of the word to be serving tables, the early church would have been nothing other than a social gathering. Just a social gathering, a gathering of people who like to eat together and dine together and just marry together and have fun and joke about and goof around. It will be reduced to such kind of gathering. It is the teaching of the word of God and a passionate culture of the same that makes a difference. Look at the result of their decision at verse 7. Acts chapter 6 verse 7. Bible says, then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith, because they continued to teach and to minister the word. The word of God spread in Jerusalem. I've noticed that everywhere there's a growth in number, in numerical, membership in the early church. Anytime there was a massive adding of men to the church, a massive increase or harvest in the early church, it was because the word of God spread. There was a growth in the influence of the word. It was not about church marketing or gimmicks. It was about growth in the influence of the word. The word of God spread. That is, knowledge was dispensed and diffused in the environment. The word of God prevailed in that place. And that's the reason why more disciples increased. So you discover that the number of people that always increased were not just multitudes. They were always disciples. Hallelujah. Disciples. Disciples are men who have received the truth of the word of God. If you look at verse 1 also, it says, now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying. And if you read chapter 5, verse 42, you see what bettered, what led to that increase in number was a deliberate and continuous and consistent teaching of the word of God. Verse 42 of chapter 5, Bible says, and daily in the temple and in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. So you see, the apostles had this business of teaching because they understood that knowledge is the most essential thing in the Christian faith. If you don't emphasize knowledge and you don't pursue knowledge and you don't go for knowledge and you don't test for knowledge, your Christianity will never survive in this generation. And when I say your Christianity, I'm talking about the practice of the faith. It won't survive. You will struggle till the end of time if you don't go for knowledge and test for knowledge. And I defined this yesterday, not just any kind of knowledge, the knowledge of the Son of God, the gospel, Christ Jesus and Him crucified, what He has done. Hallelujah. What Christ has done. Glory be to God. Many times in an attempt to motivate people to a passionate lifestyle of prayer, you find people talking down on the place of Bible studies. They say, just be studying letters. Just be reading God's word. You better pray. It's about prayer. It's not about study. No, it is the word of God that is meant to motivate prayer. Hallelujah. So we are to feed on God's word. We are to go for the knowledge of Christ till it motivates and bets in us a healthy culture of prayer. Hallelujah. A healthy culture of prayer. So God's word first. Before you talk about being a prayer warrior, first be a word warrior. Hallelujah. If there's anything like that, be a word warrior. Be a man who is passionate and diligent in the study of the word of God. Knowledge is so essential in the Christian faith. This cannot be overemphasized or overstated. God's word is the most important thing you'd ever need in the Christian faith. Praise God. God's word. Look at Psalm 1, the book of Psalms. Read chapter 1. See how important knowledge is for growth, for fruitfulness in life and ministry. See how important knowledge is. Glory be to God. The book of Psalms, I'll read from chapter 1. Popular scripture. Bible says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. It says, the man that is blessed, the man that is referred to as a blessed man, is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, he does not stand in the path of sinners, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Have you seen, just like I said yesterday, that if you discourage a passionate pursuit of the knowledge of God's word, you are, in other words, encouraging men to go after false knowledge, because there will always be a vacuum, there will always be a void that you will fill with other things. You will never be a blank canvas or a blank template. There will always be a need for knowledge. So just like we said yesterday, it's also clear in this psalm that the man that would delight himself in the law of the Lord and meditate in it day and night is the man that will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners. If he does not delight himself in the law of the Lord and meditate in the word of God day and night, he will stand in the paths of sinners and walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Listen carefully. There is no sitting on the fence. It's either you delight yourself in the word of God, in meditating on scriptures, or you delight yourself in false knowledge. There's no sitting on the fence. Hallelujah. So if we don't encourage a pursuit of the word of God, of the knowledge of Christ, of the knowledge of the scriptures, we are, in other words, in essence, encouraging a pursuit of false knowledge. So the man that stands in the path of sinners and does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly is the man that meditates and delights in the law of the Lord and meditates in it day and night. You see, he says, it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Based on his pursuit of that knowledge, his life will change. There will be a transformation. There will be fruitfulness. It will bear fruit in season. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It will bear fruit in season. Look at James chapter 1. So there's no sitting on the fence. It's either you pursue the word of God, you pursue the knowledge of Christ, or you'll be found meditating on the wrong things. If you don't meditate on the word, you meditate on many things. Let me give you examples of things you can meditate on. You meditate on bad news in the world. You meditate on your needs, You meditate on the things you are looking for. You meditate on your ambitions, on your dreams. You meditate on many things that will cause you to, you know, sit back and you rethink your life and you feel that you're not making progress. Many things that will put you under pressure. You meditate on things, aka worrying. Hallelujah. You start worrying and walking in anxiety. The opposite of worry is meditation in the Word of God. Praise God. So there are no two ways about it. You must fill that void with the right substance. It is the Word of God. Look at this place now. Hallelujah. James chapter 1. Glory to God. Book of James chapter 1. And I'll read from verse 21. Bible says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. It says to lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. What is the filthiness and overflow of wickedness in this context? Hallelujah. At verse 19, he says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness. That means the therefore is a connection with verse 19 and 20. If you look at it very well, the reason why he gives them an instruction to be slow to speak and slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God, is because they were already thinking faulty things about God. They were thinking in a faulty manner about God. They had different funny perspectives about God. Hallelujah. You see, verse 13, let no one say, when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires. Apparently, there were folks who thought that God could tempt with evil. Praise God. So if you don't receive with meekness the word of God, you are going to be giving yourself over to assumptions. And some have said assumption is the lowest form of knowledge. For me, assumption is no knowledge at all. Hallelujah. Assumption is not just the lowest form of knowledge. It is false knowledge. It is not true. Most times you end up with superstitions, just like they've come up in this place. God does not tempt with evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Hallelujah. And James had to clear that. And then it goes to verse 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Have you seen they were already deceived? Do not be deceived, my beloved. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Many believers who don't take Bible study very seriously end up with all kinds of funny things about God, superstitious beliefs, things that are untrue, totally false about God, because they've rejected the knowledge of God. So you can't be blank. If you reject the knowledge of the word of God, you would come up with things for yourself, perspectives that are untrue about God. Hallelujah. You would embrace a false knowledge of God. Hallelujah. So look at James. It says, therefore lay aside all this filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Verse 22, but be doers of the word and not the hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If anyone is a hearer of the word and is not a doer, is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror, for he observes himself, goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and continues to look and is not the forgetful hearer but the doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Have you seen that there's continuity that is expected? To continue to look into the word of God. This is what brings genuine spiritual growth. This is what makes you a doer of the word of God. It takes a consistent gaze into the word of God to become a doer of the same. Hallelujah. So knowledge is very important. Have you seen that that doesn't sound like some passive approach to receiving God's word? It's an active, deliberate, intentional pursuit of knowledge. Knowledge is what you are going to need so much in this thing called spiritual maturity, because there's a need for you to always renew your mind with the truth of the word of God. Hallelujah. So don't let anybody discourage you. If you have been pursuing the knowledge of God's word, knowledge of scriptures, you need to fasten your belt. Hallelujah. Fasten your belt right now. There's so much more to learn. There's so much more to know. There's so much more to know so you can grow in the truth of the word of God. Hallelujah. Let's see one more place. Praise God. One more place as we close. Look at Philippians chapter 4. There's a need to be deliberate in our intake of the knowledge of God. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Praise God. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4. I'll read from verse 8. Glory to God. Philippians 4. From verse 8, the Bible says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditate on these things. Have you seen a passive approach? No. Have you seen an active, intentional, you know, thinking on the things that will bring maturity, things that would spur you on to maturity, things that would edify you as a Christian? Yes, it's active. Whatever things are noble, good, just, pure, lovely, of good report, meditate on these things. Verse 9, the things you learned and received and heard and saw in me, this do, and the God of peace will be with you. The things you learned and received and heard and saw in me, because he was talking about the word of God. Hallelujah. The meditation here is not on positive thoughts. It's about allowing the word of God dominate your thoughts, dominate your thinking. God's word will find expression through you as it dominates and fills your thoughts. Praise God. So this is also a call to pursue the knowledge of the word of God. Hallelujah. We'll continue from here tomorrow. Don't forget to tune in. Invite your friends, family members, colleagues, classmates. Let's come together to have a great time in the word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the word, full of prayer, spiritual songs, full of faith and power. And don't forget to be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.